It is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024, and you're listening to the Tuesday Catch-Up presented by Gravy Train Productions. Nate, hit the music.
Give me pictures of Spider-Man!
I don't know how to read.
At that point, not without beer. You gotta come back with something.
The sauce is the boss.
Put some fucking headphones in!
You are listening to the Tuesday Catch-Up.
Welcome to the Tuesday Catch-Up.
Pictures of Spider-Man.
Oh, shit.
It's about sums up how we're all feeling right now.
Yeah, 100%. Just keep hitting the intro for an hour. Just in a loop. That'll be fine. Welcome to the Tuesday Catch-Up, sponsored by Zoca Zola. When you need Zoca Zola fuels you. You know what? Every time I hear that intro song, I'm reminded by how mean I used to be to my parents, even though they were letting me live there after college and take the computer room over to run a podcast. Every Monday night, I would take over the entire house because I needed it silent outside the room. Go, we're doing something. I just, like, as if we were cooking up the most fucking profound, as if we were starting a philosopher's podcast. So we'd put that little sheet up and we'd close the other door, or we'd close the door and put that little like massage parlor folding thing up. And if anyone even dare spoke in the house they paid for, I would cuss them out like a football coach. Yeah, turn that fucking thing off.
Imagine someone doing that to you in your house right now. Shut the fuck up and put headphones in. You might kill him.
I'd shoot him with a fucking handgun. Are you kidding me? I'm surprised Dad and I never ever came to fisticuffs in my time as a stay at home. I mean, like, for me to lean out the computer door, like, this man worked IT for 5 years to put us through school. And like, I open that sliding door and I leave my head. I go, shut the fuck up. He just goes, that's my son. I'm so proud of that boy. It's like, oh my God.
Love you too, son. Love you too.
That is insane. And they're like, Mom, shut up. We're doing a podcast. And the only time I'd ask her to, the only time we'd let her talk is if we were like, come tell us an embarrassing story. Like, man.
I would like to go listen to some of those early episodes again.
Pure chaos. And then, like, Cassie's trying to graduate high school and her brother's running a podcast with four dudes talking about like dicks and farts and all sorts of shit. What, Harley?
Talking about cum and farts,
pretty much talking about, like, exclusively about jerking off loudly. Oh no, I really didn't have any shame in 2018. It was the original days, the OG Catch-Up in the room, just talking
season one,
not like season 19.
Yeah, I mean, that was our thing. Is anything we had a
podcast.
Anytime we had a bad episode, we just called it a new season. I was like, we're on, in that case, we're on season 230 or something this week. Unbelievable.
Oh, shit. We had a good run somewhere in there.
If you would have told the chum in that dining room that we would be getting listens from all across the country and also go for 230 episodes, probably would have said, shut the fuck up.
100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. I would have said, wow, only that many? We're supposed to be famous by the first year. That was my dumb brain.
Well, you got to go back and tell old chum that we took a short 18-month hiatus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I was trying. I didn't want to embarrass. I didn't want Lucy. And that was the one lucid moment I had where I went, Lucy's hot and thinks I'm funny. Don't blow it. It's like, don't go in the back room and yell into a podcast mic.
Don't give her hours of recorded material to tell her that I'm not.
Dude, that's because, what was it like? Not long before that. It was like 4 months before that. I got in trouble on a previous, because the podcast is a true audio record of just like, I would literally just talk shit.
What did you get in trouble for?
I think it was on Shouts Out Nick Argyle's podcast. It was like a girl I was dating way before Lucy, but got me a Christmas gift like 2 weeks into seeing each other. And I was like, that's weird, right? And I said that. And I guess like she stumbled upon it and I was bad. I got in some trouble. So now the beautiful part is once I started the podcast over again, Lucy and I were for life. That's my gal. So now she can't leave me no matter what I say on this podcast.
No matter what kind of slurs you say on the podcast.
No matter what I say on the Patreon. I'm kidding. Speaking of the Patreon, Harley, that text you sent us of our one of our patrons finally getting around to listening to us threaten to crash the planes he flies, very fun. For a little backstory, we we're such a successful podcast that we know exactly when in our I can track our patrons to their houses. I know our patrons intimately. I can tell you about their families.
Would agree.
We lost one about 13 weeks ago.
That might bring back.
And so we decided to dedicate about 6 minutes to threatening to come to his job and crash the blade. And much like Susan Ketchup, 13 weeks later, he listened and then reported back. So those are always a treat, dude. A little text message that's like, I just listened to you say something crazy. And I go, when did I say that? And I realized it's back. And like, I was like, oh, I was depressed in February. No shit. I threatened to kill you and everybody on board. No wonder I had no regard for 180 souls.
That's maybe one of the most fun parts about coming out of a depressive funk is all those little landmines you laid for yourself in the previous 3 months.
Oh, my God. Just saying horrible things about people and life in general. There's so many text messages from me to Harley, it's like, I don't give a fuck if I roll my car and kill everyone. It's like, I was like, I just want to die. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, ain't life so grand? I'm like, isn't it so nice to be out and about and the sun shining? And I'm like, I think I text Harley. I'm like, I'm unstoppable. And then 3 days later, I was like, I think everything's falling apart. What if this is all just a ruse and I fail?
He's like, boy, do I have a business idea for you.
Should we just do a disjointed episode? It's late at night. I don't care.
Love Lexapro.
Also, wait, before you go, Nate, can I say this? Even though I know it's better as its own standalone segment, there is something funny about we think of something and immediately hit the segment music. Like, it stops everything in its place. Yeah. It's like a commercial. Like, has this ever happened to you? That being said, Nate.
Hi, Sharks. I'm Nate. You might remember me from a few of my previous business ideas like Dude Juice and whopoopedmypants.com.
Sure.
Who could now, let me pose nerd. A question. Let me pose a question. What is the worst part about living in the Midwest?
Seasonal depression is pretty. That's a big one.
Yeah, winter.
You guys are all very, very correct. Now, what if I told you I had an invention that would fit into your very home and change how you view that winter season?
Ooh.
I'm here to pitch Dulbs. They're light bulbs that give off vitamin D. They're like the seasonal affective depression lamps that you can get for your desk, but everywhere. As soon as you get your lights on, boom, you're getting showered with that sweet, sweet vitamin D. Now let it rain down on thee.
Nate, for a half second before you said Dolphs, I thought you were going to be like, we'll bring the beach into your house. Like, just dump a bunch of sand in your room. It's basically like a lizard cage, but for humans.
Now, can too much D be inserted into me?
Never. Oh. You can never have too much D inside of you. I can guarantee
that's
it.
The catchphrase for the product.
Let's never have too much absolutely. D.
Yeah.
We'll give Dolphs. You the D.
Nate, I do love this idea. Harley, I feel like you're gonna have some hard thoughts because you're one of those big, like, soft light lamp, like it's science on your desk. Bitches. No, Harley, you're what we call science, a bummer.
The science is with Nate on this one, fuckhead.
I know it is. So I fucking love Harley. This is the best.
You too.
No, it's but I know, like, you can buy those lamps that sit on your desk, which also. In the words of Tim Robinson, what the fuck are they doing to us? I have to buy a little mini sun and point it at me on my desk so that I don't want to kill myself anymore.
Only in January and February.
No, yeah. Dude, you should say every day I wake up and I go into a dark, I pull the shades closed and I open my laptop and I just fucking crawl the internet for 8 hours.
I want to run clinical trials with this company and have a hospital wing, have all Dulbs, and then have half fluorescent lights and see who heals quicker or see what, like, the patient and employee satisfaction is. I think fluorescent light is killing us slowly. I'm investor customer all the way.
I love it. I also read a study recently that the vibration of honeybees lengthens your lifespan. I think maybe we make these D's vibrate.
Just buzz. Turn on your lights in your house. Just
Can you imagine if there was like a vibrator that was as bright as this little sun vibrator?
Oh my god.
You walk in, it's like when you catch a kid reading at night. It's just your lady underneath the bed.
I ain't sad no more. I am delivered.
I am delivered.
On whole sunning, trend would completely go away. Guys would just be shoving those things up their ass.
Fuck yeah, dude. Pegging would be no longer such a taboo subject. I'd let the sun peg me.
It's for my health.
Please, I need to feel better.
Please. Have you guys seen those, like, tubes that funnel light down into your house? It's like kind of like a skylight, but
they call them windows.
Open. No, it doesn't have to be a window. It can actually turn and reflect the light. Like solar tubes, they're called. They're really cool.
But how would you, like, you would need like a little covering. I'm not gonna have a bunch of birds flying into my fucking house.
Yeah, it's covered. It's like a mirror surface on top.
Dude, you walk underneath and get lit up like an ant on a sidewalk. Little pockets. You guys ever do that? You ever kill an ant with a microscope? I never killed a toad with a microscope. I preferred medieval methods when I did my one and only kill. I wanted to go medieval on it.
Catapult or a mace?
It was more of a mace. It was much more of an impale. I think if you're going to kill your first kill, yeah, I think as a kid, like when you want to understand your mortality, your first kill has to be a stabbing. It cannot be anything other. You can't run something over. I know kids were big on like running things over with their bikes and stuff. I think if you want a chest, if you got that dog in you, that sociopathic dog in you, you stab something. If it freaks you out, you're good. You're going to be fine for the rest of your life. You'll never have it again. But if you like it, you know, your calling's been answered.
I remember my first kill. This is right when Bear Grylls and Survivor Man was huge, and so me and the Bizarres and Matt spent a whole weekend like fashioning a spear, and I had like nails tied to the end of a long stick, and we spent all weekend trying to kill shit and absolutely nothing, until one time we were on the pontoon boat, we were cruising along, and there's a mouse swimming in the middle of the lake, and I'm like, oh my god, this is my chance, and I hit it once. And it like kind of like ducked down. I like didn't kill it, but I definitely injured it. I felt so bad. I delivered it to shore. I was like, oh god,
it takes some audio, especially because you killed someone with fur. Toads are disgusting. Everybody thought I was a hero. It was like I killed Quasimodo. You took the baby of the animal kingdom and you stabbed it with a rusty nail on a stick.
Yep. I felt so bad.
Your first kill, but truly,
I was party to mouse euthanization in a science study. This lady was playing like Disney Pandora and just euthanizing mice. It was the creepiest.
Oh my god.
I mean, I could talk euthanasia all day. But.
That feels like the waiting. That feels like the waiting room for hell.
It was something else. That was after we poisoned the business. A week before that, we were taking mice. Like
you were in, you were in Mauschwitz. Thank you. Count it.
That was a good one. That was the best one yet, Chum.
Thank you very much.
230 episodes.
I got it. Harley, you would literally shoot. Love is an open door.
It was pre Moana, but
probably Frozen then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was more Frozen era.
To be a man, it must be swift as a cord. She's like, sweet. She's just bopping them on the head with little hammers. What were you poisoning them with? A liberal agenda?
Multi-walled carbon nanotubules. Wake up, Matt.
I'm here.
It was like carbon nanofibers that they put in like bike holes and plane holes. We wanted to see if there was environmental like exposure that cook with them or not make like industrial uses. If it got airborne and you breathed it in. So
Harley, that sounds like the Step Brothers movie. We put liquid paper on a bee. you were what? You were sampling lung tissue?
Lung tissue, kidney tissue, and liver tissue. And then we were also tracking their genetic changes to see if they were like inflammation.
Can I say something? You guys, you scientists love fancy words for pretty medieval shit. You're like, we put a tire patch kid inside of a rat and it died. That's literally what you did.
I know. It kind of jaded me on the whole prospect of like toxicology research.
Yeah, pushing science forward.
I took the human response to it. I did not go, yeah, this was great. We should poison 30 more and get conclusive results.
You know, like as someone who just watched the Planet of the Apes trilogy this weekend, once again, That's a lot how bad things happen, is us just not, we can't take no for an answer. We just keep pushing and testing on the animals. Got to be careful. What if you had an arm of super rats, Harley, and they remembered you? You'd have to go hide in Argentina. It'd be you and the Nazis hiding for your crimes. Also, just, I don't know. I think I'm going to remember that forever. The thought of that lady humming along to Disney songs, and she's just like a bucket of dead mice next to her. Like, oh my God. And she goes, yeah, I got to break for lunch soon.
The real medieval part was we had to harvest their organs, and then we had to put them in these little plastic test tubes, I guess, and drop them into liquid nitrogen. And when I had to take them out of the liquid nitrogen,
who thought of this? They're like, wait, you guys are about to take all the dead mice outside. Someone goes, wait. Read me the organs. And he goes, and you have
the license, the driver's license. We got to collect some organs.
Oh my God.
The real medieval shit is that for lunch, she just ate cheese.
Yeah, she's doing charcuterie boards.
And then as you would pull the tubes out of the liquid nitrogen, because you were going to get them ready, you had to like transfer them. Because it would like be heating up so fast, they would pop and like little bits of organ could go flying into the air. So you had to like fish them out of the liquid nitrogen tank really fast.
Oh my God. It's
dude, it was crazy.
What a bummer. What a horrible place to work. I mean, I had to write a couple emails and I was like, this sucks. If I had to every day just kill bucketfuls of mice. Mice that
That's
had lab aids.
Weekend job, chum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If I've been looking to pick up some extra shifts, I want to kill buckets of mice. Wow.
All right, so I got Harley as an investor customer.
You've also got me. I want a nice buzzing D inside me.
Dude, Nate, I want that D as close to me as I can get. I'm an investor and a customer, dude.
It's a good idea, right?
It is. I mean, I will say I think it is somewhat already created with like the vitamin D lamps you can get for your desk, but those are kind of blasting you in the side of the face. If your whole room was like kind of a lizard container of like just beautiful warmth and sunshine, that's a pretty nice thing.
Just get them everywhere, man. Why not?
That's actually pretty nice. Yeah, I respect that. It also would help my rhythm a little bit because I don't know about you, this year more than ever, coming back to the like the sun being out later is not as like pleasant as it has been the last couple of years. Like I'm having trouble reverting back. Like this year, the switch is becoming harder and harder every year to be like, it's summer now. Now I'm in stay up late mode, do whatever mode. Like it's like 7:30 at night. And it's light out. And I'm like I don't like it. I don't like the neighbor kids are playing outside as much as I miss the quiet and the stillness of winter, you know. Maybe I'm just the asshole. Anyways, good job, Nate. Boys, what else is going on? What's up? What's up? What's up in the crew?
Did I tell you guys about the gambling presentation that was delivered?
No, you said there was one coming.
Yes,
out of the pod.
It worked.
Did you win money?
About $200.
Whoa.
And it would have done better if I actually followed the rules to his gambling, but we were just having fun. But it was an absolute, like, so we just came back from an absolute boys weekend in Scottsdale, where it was filled with gambling, golf, and poolside beers. It was really a good time. You know, bachelor parties, we didn't get too crazy. We just, you know, we were just having a time. And one of the guys, not listener of the pod, decided he's a degenerate gambler. He'll admit it. Created a PowerPoint presentation on how you open up a bunch of free accounts, or like you open up like a DraftKings, a FanDuel, and then they each give you a bonus like bet of $150, and then you just like hedge the bets against each other, so you just get free money. And then we were just having I think there's a bet on every single game from like 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. It was wild. I even had some crazy like parlays. Like I had a 7-leg parlay in the MLB that almost hit. I haven't watched a single MLB game like in 12 years. I had no idea. So what is good old fashioned fun?
What's like the group's vibe on gambling across the board?
This group?
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy it.
It adds a little
little flavor.
Yeah, a little excitement. But it's like with anything that's exciting or addicting, like, you know, just do it within your means and don't take it too seriously and just use it as like a tool for fun, not yeah. for a way to make money, I guess.
The way you guys did it, Matt, sounds fun. Like every, like it was like every, someone's got money on every game, but it's like, that's kind of the, like the theme of the weekend. You know what I mean? Oh, you were in yeah. Scottsdale, but you guys were a little bit in Vegas in that respect of like, someone's like, this is what I want to do this weekend, and everyone's got to get on board with it. That's a very fun mm-hmm. thing to do, especially because he's teaching people how to do parlays. Like, imagine how pissed he must have been when you put a 7-leg parlay together. He probably wanted to throw you in the pool.
He was like, "You fucking idiot!" Yeah, he's like, "This isn't what I. This isn't the PowerPoint." And I'm like, "And sure as shit, I lost. I probably could have doubled what I made if I like listened."
That could be a biggest shine for me is when someone's super into something, they're trying to get everyone to do it, and everyone does it, but not the way they want to. That freak out is a top 10, and it happens to me a lot where I'm like, guys, we should like play this, and then everyone's doing it, like everyone, like it's kind of in jest, they'll do it, but they're kind of doing it to know it's pushing my buttons, and I will get so mad. I'm like, that's not the PowerPoint, that's not how I envision it in my brain. It's like, oh dude, not giving someone what they want is so fun.
It was well worth the loss of $100 of just dicking yeah. around. But we dude, gambling is so much more fun when it's free money. That's all yes. I gotta say.
True that.
Yeah, because everything feels good.
Two shits and I lost, but I was like, it still put enough heat of like, oh, this we're in this.
When a couple legs hit, two tree legs. Harley, what do you think about gambling?
Well, this may come as a surprise. I'm anti-gambling, yeah. but it's maybe not for the reason you think. As someone prone to conspiracy thinking, I feel like I would very quickly think that all major sports are rigged when I keep losing right at the marker of the over under. So I think I would get real down on Vegas and think everything was fixed. Also, like sometimes when it does get away, I feel like it takes away from the enjoyment of the games. Like you're trying to watch an NFL game and like all your buddies are betting on like the four other sports happening at the same time. It is fun sometimes.
That piece yeah. of when everybody, when you're all like, we did a little like 7 bets on the Super Bowl this year. That was very fun because everybody was like, it was like, who do you think's gonna score first? Who's gonna heads or tails? Like basically this whole rundown of like this or that. That was really fun because we were all like, come on, like try to count how many times they showed Taylor Swift, like all the fun little board that way, because we're all focused. But if I was like, but if we're all sitting there and someone's like, damn it, we go, what? They go like, Taiwanese team just lost in soccer. You're like, who gives a fuck, dude? That's yeah. sad. That's sad that you said that. You bummed everybody out.
Yeah, we didn't get that far down the depths, but we did start creeping onto soccer come Sunday morning. There's some soccer guys there that there was a lot of games that starting at 6 a.m.
Yeah, that's exactly like the that's like the Siggies at my bachelor party. By the end of the weekend, it was like, ha, this isn't fun anymore. I want one on a Sunday morning. Ha ha ha. Such a funny bit, right? So yeah, it can get dangerous pretty quick.
Yeah, that was my going away present from your bachelor party. Nicotine addiction came back full
dude, a vicious one for a few of them. I mean, every time Gillis was coming over after that, he was smoking like half a pack. Lucy was like, why? I was like, I think that lock-in caused a couple broken brains.
The hive mind was not right when we all went our separate ways.
You guys broke poor little innocent Sam Kelly's brain. He smokes cigarettes still. Like it's like, dude, he's 11.
They massacred my boy.
My beautiful boy. He's smoking cigarettes. He's playing the slot super hard. That's what Lucy's dad always gives me money to play the slot. So I get it, Matt. The winning with someone else's money is always fun.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You know, when you have the hot hand and get it going. But that's good. Batch party was good, though. Oh, go
pull
ahead.
Tabs don't count. Pull tabs don't count.
No, they don't. It's not really gambling.
It's
you
an
don't
investment.
Like, yeah. And like when it's gone, it's gone. You're like $20 in, and if you don't get anything, you don't get anything. But you just keep spending whatever money you get. Like you know, you're at the end of the day, you're gonna lose it. Pull tabs are where you're like, spend $20. I'm either gonna lose $20, or if we win big, we win big. That's it. But there is no in between. Versus like a slot, you might leave when you're up $20. Yeah. Like you don't do that on pull tabs. You play till you get to 250 or whatever. It's got to be enough that it's marginal to split mm-hmm. with everybody.
Well, you know, I'm absolutely with you. I think you do it within reason. We all had an absolute blast, but you know, I put in $80. As soon as I made $80, pulled that out. The rest was free money the rest of the weekend. I was like, hell yeah, brother.
Easy, easy. Scottsdale was nice though, too.
Scottsdale was great. I had a little flashback to a time when we went on a cross country road trip, not you and me, but another group. Like, we went to the Rocky Mountains and my friend thought he could read a topography map and ended up taking us up a mountain for 2 hours straight. And
had a similar experience to Sunrise Peak, should have known. And we did a little hike in the desert early with some guys. I'm like, I'm all for it. It was 2 miles straight up. And I was dying, dude. Oh, yeah. It was hot. And I was just like, my legs were jelly. And I was like, I just came from Greece where we were walking 47 flights of stairs a day. And I'm like, how am I gassed right now? It was a little reality check, but you know, it was a good time. But you know, now I'm tired. It was an in and out operation Thursday night to Sunday morning early, bam bang, done.
Yeah, and then back to work Monday morning with that shell of a brain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should like here's the thing is, I know people like to say they want to take PTO after that. You shouldn't have to take PTO because I'm willing to be there. The work should give you the day off because they don't want you there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a good employee. Like I'll be there. And I'm going to give you exactly what you expected of me today. But if you want a good employee, you're better off telling me to stay home. You'll get monster me on Tuesday. I'll be ready to rock and roll. But instead, they're like, nope, take PTO. That's what I don't understand. It's kind of like school. Like, I'm not going to do well. I'll be here fine. I wanted to get the attendance tick, but you were better off not having me here. I'm a detractor when I'm here now.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you?
Weekends.
Huh?
You were in Missoula. Harley went back to the dangerous land. Harley went back to the shadow land.
Show us your fingers.
Yeah, Harley, let's see. Let's get a digit count.
9 3/4, same as I left.
Nice. 9 3/4. Harley's fingers, the Harry Potter train station, 9 3/4.
Quack.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's a big quack. That's a good enough Venn diagram, though.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Harley, how was it? We're glad to see you alive. What if he's like, my fingers are fine. He lifts up his feet. He's got one toe left.
Yeah. No, it was fantastic. It was great seeing those guys. Got some shines about it. No complaints, no scary times, just a good old celebration of you guys met him. Big Matt, he got married.
Big Matt,
owner of Leo,
saved your dog, dude.
Get to see Leo. He freaked the fuck out for like 3 minutes, and then as soon as he was over me, he went and grabbed the toy, and I had to throw it for him for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, dude. Wow. Did you cry? Tell us straight up, did you cry?
I almost did.
Yeah, when he's like, oh my god, I thought you were dead and you abandoned. You're like, oh my god.
Like, oh, his little high-pitched whine, like when he gets excited to see someone he hasn't seen in a while. I got like 2 minutes of that. It was a tearjerker.
Dude. Nate, do you have anything to share about the week?
No, not really.
Jump into wider shot, because we're going to get going. Because I have something, my whine relates to. It's Wine or Shine, the segment where we're going to continue a regular conversation anyway, but there's some decent rules around it. We'll complain or we'll shine light.
There's some decent rules.
My wine is when someone tries to get you to cry when you're not supposed to cry. It's worse than when someone tries to get you to laugh when you're not supposed to laugh because they know they're poking at an emotional heartstring. Harley, much like you with Leo, like where I was just was almost elaborated on the scenario, which it almost made me tear up. We're sitting there. We're watching Pokemon. It's me, Joe, Sean, and little Charlotte all watching Pokemon, and it's like sad. It's a sad episode about a baby Pichu that gets like adopted by a family of other Pokemon. They raise it, but Pikachu starts to realize it's too big for the mom, and like a mom can't carry it, so it sneaks away in the middle of the night to go live its own life, and it's very sad. And we're all sitting there like, Sean's like, I can't watch it right now. I'm kind of like choking up a little bit, and Joe picks up Charlotte and he goes, someday you're gonna be a big Pikachu on your own. And I'm like, and then he looks at me and he can see that he's got me on the ropes, and he goes, you know what? I'm gonna miss you. And I was like, Joe, enough. I was like, that's not fucking funny. It's not nice.
It's so funny.
Oh, dude, he had me on the ropes. And Sean even was like, okay, I'm done. She looks, I literally started looking at my phone for like inappropriate memes. I'm like, anything to diffuse this cry that's obviously been hanging here for a minute that should like you ever have one that's kind of hanging in there and you're like, what's gonna pull this one out of here? Yeah,
I've been walking on eggshells for a couple days for some reason.
Almost emotionally jarred one loose.
When I first dropped Leo off in Montana, as I was leaving out the door to like drive home, Matt hit me with he was doing a fake Leo voice. He goes, was I not good enough, Dad? Oh, no. And I cried for the first hour and a half. I had to pull over and nap. Otherwise, I was going to fucking crash. I was like,
oh my God, dude. That blubbery cry. That's just, it's like, it's full of childhood rejection. It's got, it's fucking, it's pulling from scenarios that you forgot happened.
Oh man, dude. That was rough.
Dude, crying blows. I know people say it feels good. Crying fucking sucks. Because once you start, your brain just starts pulling on all the sad shit that's ever happened to you. And then and then it goes, all right, we've tapped all the memories. Let's go into the future. It's like, let's grab some what ifs to keep these things flowing. And then like by the end, you have that really ugly, like salty tasting cry because you're just now you're crying excrement almost. Oh my god, crying dehydrated. Fucking blows, dude. Yeah.
Dehydrated
for sure. Mm-hmm. Honestly, there is like, and then
liquid
you feel
cry
like,
V.
Dude, you need a cry V. That's a
cry. You dump the powder into your eyeball.
My eyes are dried out. Dude, it is a very humbling walk when you've like cried in bed or something and you gotta get up and like your way to the kitchen and get like a Gatorade. 10 minutes later you're like
a cigarette.
Yeah, you do straight up. I should keep an emotional pack of cigarettes around for like if I ever cry, just to be able to go outside and just like really quick do a genre switch
with the hood up.
Oh, that is so fun.
Dude, just fucking life's so hard.
In front of your
I hit one the day after I fucked up my knee. I was like, God fucking damn it. Yeah. Life sucks. Yeah.
Life is so hard. Like, and why only me? And then you start feeling guilty about feeling bad. Yeah, dude, crying can blow. So my wine is, it's also kind of a shine because it was pretty fucking hilarious because he knew he had me. Like, I like was walking around with like a welled up tears in my eyes. Like, I was like, why would you use Pokemon to be so mean like that? Like, it really hurt me a little bit.
I got to give Joe props on that one. I'm going to text him.
That dude's an emotional terrorist. I don't think he knows he got it. Was like, it was, yeah, it was very good. All right, I'll pass this on now. Harley, why don't you keep it going for us? Because we want to hear more about Missoula.
I got two shines. One is very general, and it's the Cripple Solidarity. So one of my buddies in Missoula, he retore his Achilles. So he was crutched up. I was limping around. The cripples find each other. There was instant cripple solidarity. You get out of moving all the heavy stuff. It's great for an event because like you just sit back in your quality control and everyone else is like setting up tables, carrying stuff in and out. You're just like, nope, I'm hanging back.
Oh, there's nothing better.
Under the crutches and not going anywhere.
It was nice.
And you guys talk to each other like new prison people. You're like, what are you in for? Like, what do you got?
You guys would both survive the sandworms of Dune too.
What's that?
You guys would survive the sandworms of Dune. So you're walking all wobbly.
Is that what? I thought it was like in World War Z where they won't get the wounded.
Did you fuck the bucket?
Yeah, you fucked the bucket.
No.
Maybe.
That is very funny though. I like that it's kindred spirits because even like it's an instant icebreaker too, you know. Yeah, but granted, you knew the person, or even if you knew the person or not, but like it's nice. You're bonded with the traumas.
There was another guy walking around. We all had different stages of grief of our crippled. One was like post surgery. One had the weird like knee brace where you get kind of like a peg leg, and your ankle and shin follow behind. Sure. So he was like Bionic Man. One of them was in a boot, and I was just lurching around like Dr. House. It was
like prisoners. What are you in for?
Yeah, 100% just walking around. Just what got you? Lucy's in a boot right now, which has been fun. We had to buy her shoes that had like a high platform on them so that she can not have what happened to me, which is when you walk around in a boot for like, I had to, like, when I broke my foot and my ankle pretty bad, I had to walk around in a boot for like 8 weeks. And so I like misaligned my hips so that one of my feet is shorter than the other now, or my legs are shorter than the other. So we had to make sure that didn't happen for her. So every night I pull her legs out, like I'm like stretching her out like taffy.
Just getting some traction.
100%. What else you got, Harley?
My other one is also a shine. So I was having a pretty good run on the pool table. Me and a buddy had won maybe like 4 or 5 games in a row. What do you think happened next? The natural thing that happens in a bar when you're having a good run in pool.
Someone starts betting you money?
Nope.
What?
It's when the 50s or 60-year-old guys come out and they turn back the clock. Yeah, I used to play a lot of pool back in my day, and they just absolutely run the table. So Matt's dad and one of his old drinking buddies came over to the table. They absolutely smoked us. Nobody was within like 3 balls before that. We had 4 left on the table when they won.
Oh, man.
It was a sight to behold.
There's always a bigger fish.
You can just tell by the way they hold the like pool stick, and the first shot, it just absolutely rips, and you're like, we're fucked.
That's I like that, though, because that's dad lore. Like, they walk up, and they're like, one more ride. Then they come up and just completely show off to you guys. And it made their nights just run the table. They're going to think about that for the next
week. Having Goose turn back the clock. Fuck
100%.
They watched for a little bit.
They did. They were scoping us out.
And they were like, had enough. I mean,
they watched you guys. You got a little cock of the walk on you, Harley. You probably stopped limping, started kind of a little spring in your step, and you're like, let's get the cripple.
Once I got in the groove, I was like putting spin on it. I was getting in my bag, and they were having none of it.
Yeah, you're being flashy. And the old man Miyagi had to come over there and tell you what's up. But the rest of the weekend was good. I was going to ask if you did any hiking, but obviously you're in fucking crutches. So
I did a little bit of hiking. I did like a river walk. So I got back to Missoula kind of early, caught up with a grad school friend, and we like grabbed some food, went for a little walk, and then went to the busy metropolis of Missoula Airport and made it through security in about 45 seconds. So
yeah. Dude, last time I flew into Missoula, I was on a prop plane. I literally had to sit on. I literally sat and I went, "Is that propellers?" And they're like, "Yeah." I was like, "What?" And they're like, "Yeah, it's one of the few transport plane, like passenger planes left that has like propellers on it." I was like, "Well, this is a fucking nightmare."
Can I complain about something? Actually,
yeah. I'm sorry, Harley. Hey, Harley. Let me tell you something. This segment perfect for that.
Fair enough. So United Airlines, go fuck yourself. I had slept about 2 hours on Friday because. On Thursday night, I didn't want to drive. I didn't want to get up at 1 a.m. to make a 5 a.m. flight in Minneapolis. So I stayed with a buddy on Thursday night. Well, the second I get to his house, he's like, "You need a spotted cow?" Like instantly, he's like, "You're on vacation." He puts a drink in my hand. So I have beers. I don't go to bed till like 11:30. I get up at 2. I'm dog tired. And I can't really fall asleep on the plane because United, they have the little TV screens on the back. But they did not offer headphones. All it did was play advertisements the whole time. Whoa. From 5 a.m. until 8 a.m. I was so fucking pissed.
You don't bring headphones when you travel?
No, I brought headphones. You couldn't plug headphones into the TV. You couldn't change the screen. It just blared advertisements at you the whole time.
It like made noisy with advertisements?
Sound? Not with sound, but like changing bright light the whole time.
You just got to turn the brightness all the way down.
There's a brightness setting.
You couldn't adjust the brightness. You couldn't turn the TV screen off. You couldn't change it in any way.
Did you ask anybody about this? Did you see anybody else with it off screen?
No, the whole plane was like that.
That's when you take a ballpoint pen and just right in the center of that screen. They're asking for it at that point. I don't
kind
care.
Of dude. If they're force feeding ads, the next thing they're United's going to start taping your eyes open. Watch this ad.
Yeah, pumping caffeine into the air so that you stay awake and watch the ads.
Hulu has live sports. Yeah, that's United is a I've said that before. So it's between American and United for least American or United, like they're the worst air flights. Spirit's better than that. Shouts out that Patreon. You know what? I really like Spirit actually. In fact, I wish we had a Patreon member who maybe flew for them or something.
Spirit on the Patreon.
Yeah. I'm telling you, dude, and this is, we'll get off this because it's not an interesting topic, but these regional like airline people are the best. Like your Allegiance, your Sun Countries. Dude, but the flights are like $18 and then you just basically a la carte from there. So if you're a backpack guy like me, you could walk on the plane with a couple things rolled up and your laptop and a backpack. You can literally get back and forth from Arizona and they fly on a schedule Thursday to Sunday or Thursday to Tuesday. Like you can jump whatever run. You need for like $55. Like I've made trips so easy. And then you just, if you want to add the carry-ons or whatever, you can just kind of do that as you go or choose your seat. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are so much better. United, like Southwest puts you on like cattle. They're basically like fight for your right. They get on there and fight with somebody. The only other one that does it is Delta, but they're fucking $9,000 to get anywhere, you know? Mm-hmm. So True. That's just my little soapbox there is shouts out Sun Country, shouts out Spirit.
Shouts out regional airlines.
Shouts out all regional airlines.
Shout out Jake.
Shout out Jake. Shout out no free shout out. All right, Matt, wine or shine?
Guys, I'm going to shine, then I'm going to whine.
Why should I come out?
First of all, I'm going to shine the misplaced TV. I don't know what it is about watching TV in a different place that's not your living room, but it is glorious. We had a TV at our Airbnb on a back patio, and I'm talking like a 55-incher. There was a table and a bunch of lawn chairs all around it. We watched so much sports and TV on that thing. It hurt. I was watching it from the pool. We had a pool. It was amazing. I don't know why, because it was nothing different than just being in a different place. Yeah,
but it's like having sex in a different room. You're like, this is naughty. This is naughty and it doesn't belong out here. That's how I feel when I bring my TV out, like I move any of my TV anywhere. I bring it out back for March Madness. Like, it's a naughty feeling. You're doing something that doesn't belong, and it feels cool to have like a genre bender, you know?
Absolutely. And honestly, it was the advertisement for the Dolb, Nate's product, because I was just soaking up vitamin D outside.
Yes, there's a place for everything, dude. I mean, we've played video games outside before. You just drag it out there, you set everything up. Like, the thing about it is when you get a little older, you kind of realize you can do anything you want. You literally can do anything. Like, the world is our oyster. I can bring my TV out back if I want to. I can make smash burgers and watch March Madness all in one little spot.
Oh, that sounds glorious. I'll be over tomorrow.
I mean, because some people, they always go, well, you got to build a screened-in patio. It's like, no, dude, just literally drag it out there in an extension cord. And within 10 minutes, you're good. If it starts, they go, what if it rains? Walk it inside. I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Is that hard? You know?
Quit thinking about why not. Insurance.
Who cares if it rains?
Yeah. Hey, just say yes. Quit being such a fucking naysayer, dude. Quit poo-pooing good ideas and just get out there and do it, guys.
Mm-hmm. When life hands you lemons, don't nap. Squeeze those suckers.
When life hands you lemons, move your TV outside. And when you think you need vitamin D, move your sedentary lifestyle outside. There's nothing wrong with that. Matt, that's a great shine. What else you got?
Guys, I'm gonna end this on a sour note. I'm gonna whine. The unnecessary power trip. I'm traveling back 4:50 a.m. Get to the airport about 5:10, and I'm waiting in the Southwest line to check my golf bag. This lady had her line cleared, and I'm waiting to check. I'm next in line, and so I start walking over, and she goes, "Sir, there's another line like here. You have to wait till you call, like till you get called." I was like, "Oh, okay, like no problem." And I'm waiting, and my side, their track for the luggage gets jammed up. So I'm like, "God damn it." So I'm waiting for like a couple minutes, waiting for her to call me, but she keeps calling other people in the line, which by the way, there was no like legitimate line. It was just another gap in the like whatever the dividers. So it was just like whoever was standing there. And so she kept calling those people. So I move over to the other side, and there's like, you know, three possible people that could call me. Of course it's her. And I'm like, "All right." And she asked me, she goes, "Do you have anything else in this bag?" And I was like, "Well, I have like a little bit of clothes in there and like my toiletries." She's like, "You're not supposed to do that. We're already checking your oversized bag for free." I have a Mondo bag that came with this, and I put 2 days worth of underwear in there. And she's like, "We'll let it go this time, but you're really only supposed to do your golf clubs." And I was like, "Oh, it's a bet. You want me to add another full size luggage because that would be easier for you guys?" I'm like, and mind you, it was 37 pounds out of 50.
Those are my golf undies.
Yeah. I was just like, "Yeah, it's a uniform." And I'm like, "Sounds good." She's like, we'll let it go this time." I'm like, "Thank you." And then that was it. And I like walked away, and I'm like, it is far too early to be the line commander and the and she peeled off my tag and replaced it for me, even though when on my flight there the placement was the exact same and it was totally fine.
Yeah, dude. It's you say nay too early. Nay, not early enough. That lady takes pride in her work. Also, isn't it bad that kind of stays with you the rest of the day? You're in security thinking of all the things you wish you could have said to her. You're like, "Fuck you, bitch. Like, shut up. What is the fucking deal?" And you're like, "Oh, I swear to God, if I do that again, I'll tell her off." And you're like, "No, I wouldn't. She's got me."
Yeah, I was just like, it made zero sense to me. And I was like, "You know what? Have it this morning. I'm going to go get a breakfast bagel and sit my ass down."
Yeah, dude. You just kind of kiss the boot a little bit and you get out of there. You just say yes. Yeah. You literally, I do like a Doctor Strange and I separate my proud self from my regular self. And I just let my regular self take a beating. And then by the time I'm through security, I merge my two selves back into one so I can go and get coffee and think I'm a human.
Yeah. You don't have snack TSA. We need our service.
No. Yep. We need hot apps for the TSA. Nate, do you have any thoughts on this power trip?
People be tripping, man. Just like, really? Like sometimes people just need to be told, like, shut the fuck up and do your job.
Yeah.
Take the bag, shut the fuck up.
dude.
That's a dangerous situation, though.
I know, because they're holding the your whole trip in their hands, and they can just be like, "This guy's a terrorist.
Yeah,
get him off here."
Or no, they go, "Have a lovely day, sir." And then what happens? Oh, my bag magically didn't make it on that flight.
No, here's what they do, right. Matt. You'd be like, "Can't you just take the bag and shut up?" And she goes, "Did you just raise your voice to me, sir? Did you threaten me?" And you're like, "What? What?" And then she goes, "What did you say?" And then she goes, "Did you say bomb?" Like, she's like really loud, totally gets you.
Matt, you wait until your bag clears that little door that the conveyor belt goes behind, and then you go back to the counter. "Oh, I forgot something. Go fuck yourself."
Oh, dude, you already had the victory lap. Excuse me. Oh, I forgot one thing. She goes,
"Memorize your barcode. You're Scott Green." Clears the line. Yeah.
That's genius.
I forgot that something. She goes, "What?" You go, "Shut up, bitch." He's like, "You raggedy ass bitch." Here's great. A thought. Wouldn't this be nice? You know, like Dick's Last Resort, the restaurant where their servers are mean to you. What if we had an airline where we paid our people like so well, like you got paid double what everyone else makes, but the passenger can do whatever they want. Like, they can shit on you as hard as they want, if they want, you know what I mean? We don't recommend like abusing it, but like, if you're going to be a twat, they can say whatever the fuck they want to you. I could be
fly
like,
Karen.
Oh my God, little fly Karen, or K, it's just K dash Aaron. That's all. It's air.
Karen,
and then
Karen Airway. Yeah. Karen Airways.
That great regional airport name, regional airline.
And you can just walk in and be like, "Take the bag and shut the fuck up." You know what I mean? Or if they go like, or like if they get nasty, you're like, "Who's the one working at an airport at 4:30? Shut up. Shut the fuck up. You know where I'm flying? Punta Cana. That's where I'm going. Where are you going after this? Oh, a two bedroom? Shut up. Fuck you." And you just like, "Give me your bag." I also live in a two bedroom. This is not me being shitty. I would do it. I would do it if I was going to a business trip in Cleveland. You know where I'm going? Cancun, pussy. Shut up. Take my bag. No matter what I'm doing.
Oh.
Very good. Very good. All right, Matt. Those are very good one shots. That's how you keep. Hey, good work, boys, so far. Nate, bring us home.
I'm going to do Shine.
Shine.
The NFL. The NFL chose. So on their helmets, they allow you to choose between six different social justice campaigns. And I feel like they just did that to shut everybody up from kneeling.
No,
they're like, we'll give you whatever you like. You can do it, but on our terms. And so I made a couple social justice tags and wanted to see which ones you guys would pick for your helmet.
The Kansas City Chiefs vote to end racism.
Yeah, right. All right, so here are the six that you can pick from. Groceries are too expensive. Bring back the Mexican pizza. Socks and sandals.
Nope.
The Big Bang Theory sucks.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You're making what this the tough, fuck Nate.
Is up with the $13 foot long sandwich? And popcorn for dinner.
What was the second one?
Bring back the Mexican pizza.
And third one was Big Bang sucks.
Third one was socks and sandals. Fourth one was the Big Bang Theory sucks.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And that's what you're wearing on your cleats.
I gotta tell you, I'm between Big Bang Theory sucks and groceries are too expensive.
Yeah, groceries are too expensive. Gate and initials on the back of my helmet instead of like and racism. I go, groceries are too damn high.
I don't really want an SS patch for socks and sandals.
Yeah, that's tough. That's acronym BBS. Yeah, you don't want that on there for Big Bang Theory sucks. I think I'm gonna go grocery too expensive. Nate, did you come up with these?
Yeah.
Nate, I think you should pitch these to the NFL.
I think so too.
I'd agree. No, you know, we should submit these to like low round draft picks for the My Cause My Cleats month. Like they always do like justice for so and so. And instead it's just like, why the fuck are footlongs $13? It's written on, it's Jared from Subway on the side of a cleat.
It's just George Floyd and the Bazinga guy.
or like a cleat is literally like it's drawn like a Burke with sandals, like high sandals as a cleat. I'm telling you. We should go into like the Nike creator and make some My Cause My Cleats this year and just put them out for fun.
Yeah.
Be down.
I like the Burke and sandals, Burke and socks one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Nate, that's very funny. That's a great That's a great NFL slogan. Was that a shine or a business idea?
That was a shine. I've got two more business ideas if needed.
Well, is that your only shine? You got another wine for us or anything?
No, that was it. That was all. That's all.
Okay, let me see my notes. Otherwise, we're gonna go into some business ideas to cap this beauty off.
We should do actually a ceremony to cap it off.
Okay, well, we can do the ceremony. Yeah, we'll do the ceremony to cap it off.
Because I already sat on it 1 week.
Yeah, we can't. We can no longer. Yeah, no, let's do it. Let's do some, the only things I have in my notes are some joke ideas. Gay cowboys had to be careful with how much they threw around the word partner. There's something there, right?
There is. I think
the other thing is, I'll call it a wine. Cause this was actually something I said. I hate the term partners for relationship. That's what spread that joke. I don't like it. Over the last week, finally put my flag that I hate it because it's like, it sounds so bullshitty corporate. Like what, like as my wife, we didn't merge companies. Like we have sex. We're not partners in this. That's why I get very bugged by that term, but I understand it's meant to be inclusive because you're all staring at me like I'm a bigot.
Nah.
No, I'm trying to figure out how else that works into a cowboy joke.
No, it does. Well, it was more just like the word partner sent me on a real trajectory, but it started because I wrote a line that was like, I'm sick of seeing like, this is my partner, Greg. And it's like, you mean your boyfriend? Like, it's okay to be like they're not your partner.
Code for being gay. And now it's like very ambiguous. It kind of defeats the purpose now.
That's what I said. Cause everyone at work is like, that's my partner. I'm like, you mean your wife? And they're like, no. Or like your husband? They're like, no. I was like, okay. I was like, Lucy and I rarely partner. I wouldn't trust Lucy and I would not run a company together. Like we would not be partners. Like we're in a relationship.
I catch myself saying it every once in a while. And I've definitely shifted gears to just straight up. Oh, that's my girlfriend.
Yeah. Cause if I was hanging out with you and you're like, yeah, my partner, Sarah, I'd be like, oh, you're one of those people. Oh, good. Oh, good. Let's not have any fun in this conversation. Oh, good. You've tipped your hand that we shouldn't talk about anything funny. All joking. Everybody's fun and funny. All right, Nate, let's do some business. Well, let's do it. Yeah, let's do business ideas, then a ceremony. What did you say, Harley?
I said you should run with that in Madison. I think
that'll go well. that'll really play in the liberal paradise that is Madden or Madison. I already was gonna
here. No. All right, kick them out. We need people that are gonna find things funny.
Yeah, we need people with senses of humor down in this basement, down in this comedy club. Anyways, Nate, give us some business ideas. Let's make some money.
What's up, shitheads? You might remember me from a few of my previous business adventures, like the Dulb. And Dude Juice. Now let me pose a question. What's the worst part about eating popcorn at home?
No movie theater butter.
Yeah. It's not salty enough.
No big bucket.
No matter how much you put it on.
Fair enough. Both of those can be solved easily with putting your own butter on and then putting salt on so that it has salt.
I said movie theater butter.
Whatever.
It doesn't live in a big glass case.
What?
It doesn't live in a big glass case before you eat it.
Yeah.
You guys are all very close.
Is this another light bulb pitch?
It's a popcorn bulb. When you get to the bottom of the popcorn bowl, you've got a 20% chance of tossing an unpopped kernel in your mouth. Chipping a tooth. You got to be a little dainty with it. I'm here to bring the double layer popcorn bowl where the bottom is a sifter that catches all of the unpopped kernels and puts them underneath the outer layer of the bowl. So if you're reaching in, the only thing that your fingers can touch is popped popcorn.
Wow.
Let gravity do the work.
Does this screw off and you can dump the kernels into the trash? Is it like a...
Yeah, you can screw it. I just kind of pictured it just sitting in there. And so you can just pop it out because you're not really doing too many gymnastics with the popcorn bowl. It's just sitting there. But you could do a screw mechanism if you'd like a little more security. But it's the kernels for
I think the screw mechanism is going to up the production costs. I sure. Like your just like colander bottom bowl. I think that works. Sure.
What are you going to call it?
That's a great idea.
I don't know. I couldn't think of a good name. Do you guys? Can you guys think of anything?
I keep going.
I got it. I got
Kern Hole or something. Go ahead.
The Colonel. And like the mascot is like a military guy with all of his teeth.
Yeah, it was going to be the guy had to be a colonel for sure. But I was but the name of the invention, I was, maybe Kernhole. Do you have any like
the Kernhole?
Yeah, and it's like all the
Colonel Colander.
Yeah. And then so you put it in, and then you know, and all of a sudden, you have no seats. Nate, this is a, you know, it may not be funny, but it's fucking super genius. That's it. I've been looking like I have busted a couple teeth. I've had those ones where it rings in your ears after you crunch down on it. You're like, my God, that was a fresh shell one.
From your bowl of popcorn.
Oh, you're like, you try to watch the movie. You're like, fucking good God, a kernel comes out of your ear. Like, I'm going to pass this thing like a kidney stone in a while. It's well, like
the beauty of Kernel is in its simplicity. Why has no one done this yet? I don't know, but it's going to hit.
Mm-hmm. This is a QVC special.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, and it's a popcorn marvel because, Chum, you were literally complaining about how at the bottom of your bucket, it's all those tiny little pieces that you got to sift through to get the good pieces. And then you're spilling shit everywhere, getting greased up. So, I mean, this solves more than the kernel. I think it solves your tiny piece problem, too.
This elevates the popcorn eating experience.
This is another bucket you can fuck. Do you have an attachment?
I don't know. I think this is one where we do a little market research, and if the Venn diagram overlaps large enough, then I think we got to build it in. But I think as of right now, we leave it empty until we do our market research, and many, many people go, this is a really good idea, but I wish I could fuck it.
We put a slightly bigger hole in the top on a third piece.
We wait a little bit till we throw a fuckable hole on top.
You thought you loved the Colonel? Wait until you can call.
Wait till you meet the Colonel's missus. It's just a pocket pussy on a bucket of popcorn. Jesus Christ. Nate, give us another invention. We're all investors and customers. I'd pay a bajillion dollars for the Colonel right now.
Okay, two for two for the day.
You shoot time
up.
You don't hit the pitch again.
What did we jointly come up with Dude Juice, or am I crazy?
No, we're not doing this. We're not doing the Social Network right now live on the pod. All right, if you want to fight them, you fight them off the podcast.
I think we joint pitched it. You can have it.
No, I no, you weren't.
You guys definitely joint pitched it. No, you certainly did. I remember.
I'll search my notes right now, and I've got it in there.
Dude, we literally have audio record of you two joint pitching it. We'll go find it now. Nate, do your last pitch because I have to pee. This is gonna get flagged 8 times by YouTube. Dude, the OJ song, I get flagged for it every week. I get an email that says you've been copyrighted. This has been restricted because you guys can't stop doing the fucking money song, or the You Can't See Me by John Cena.
Is that real?
Yeah. Yeah, we're never gonna make it on YouTube.
That's how we never get any views.
Every single time we put a video out, we get a copyright strike because we're just too lazy to do anything different.
Oh shit! We should maybe switch it up.
No, this is the charm of the podcast. Nate, final pitch, please. The floor is yours.
Hi shitheads or sharks. I mean, this is Nate. You might remember me from a couple of my previous business pitches, like the Colonel, the Dulb.
Dude juice.
Now, what is the worst part about having a song stuck in your head?
Dude, the repeat and catching yourself singing it when you're not even, like, you don't even know you're doing it. You're like, God.
Half the time I don't know the words. That's probably my biggest issue, though.
Mm.
I'll be like, Sony. Rain is someone coming down, and you're like, that's not how the words are.
Sure. Well, what if I told you I had an app that will unstick a song from your head? It'll play it in reverse, and then will extract the song from your brain.
I don't know if that's how a brain works.
Have you tried it?
No, but I guess
that's what I thought. Shut the fuck up.
Now, I love the novelty of this, and I think, you know, if we could charge people $1.99 for this app, and whether it works or not, you know, I like being at the top of the pyramid.
I think this works as an additional subscription that you can get on Spotify. They got you into the mess. They can get you out. I think you should sell this to a music platform.
I like that.
Okay. Here's this. Love this. Nate could offer a spinoff product also called Earworms. It's an additive to Spotify where everyone can upload the song that's stuck in their head and creates the biggest playlist of the current stuck in your head jams. Because most of the time they're not like, it's not like you don't get it. Like you don't get like a metal song stuck in your head. It's always like Saturday in the park. And you're like, God damn it. It's been 3 days and I keep hearing from the fucking trumpet. Like so that's the kind of song.
You want to unstuck stick them. You want to replace the song.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a fun, like, man, it's been stuck in my head. I wonder what everyone else has been listening to. And you jump into like, and it can only be songs that you've been stuck in your head. Like that's the qualifier.
Just invent the radio top 10.
All right.
Yeah. All shit right. Idea, Hayden.
Okay. Yeah. Let's play songs in reverse. Shut the fuck up, Pink Floyd.
Hey. No. It works. There's science.
Should have stopped at 2 out of 3. This idea.
I'm only in if Harley does the R&D on rats first, just to make sure that we're going
to make rats listen to fucking the Beatles until they die.
Dissect their brains.
It's easier to kill things when you have something stuck in your head.
Yeah.
I will say this, Nate, if you can prove it works, you've got an investor and a customer here. Cause there's no, I'm an earworm guy.
It works.
All right. If you can jump into like those weird referencey phrases, you know, or like, you know, all those NPCs like got me feeling like a cowgirl. Like that's stuck in my head for months. If you could find a way to extract that, if you could Men in Black me away from some of those.
I've had Beyonce's, It Ain't Texas.
Yeah.
No, iPad brain.
Yeah. So if you could, Nate, if you do that, you've got an investor customer. So I'm a pending deal. My signature's not wet yet. Matt Harley, what do you think?
I stand by what I was saying before. If Harley dissects 300 rats, I'm in.
All right.
I'm out on the mouse killing these days. I have similar reservations about whether or not the product is going to work. I'm going to need to see a proven product in the market. I'll be a late investor. I know that's not going to give me as much equity, but I'm out for now.
Nate, do you have a name for this?
I just have it unstuck, but I like earworms.
Yeah, you can have earworms. That's free. That's a little freebie. I may not invest money, but I'll invest capital of my brain.
Sure. Capital of mind.
A capital of the mind, which is, you know, arguably more valuable than money. Is a good idea. A good idea is more valuable than gold. That's probably something my dad would try to pass off as his phrase. You fill your ambitions from a cup of pockets. Shut up. Fucking dude. Bitch. He listened to the pockets. He goes, you misquoted me. I was like, no, you were hammered. Fuck you. I was like, you don't get to say I misquoted you, Kanye.
What if it was a Neuralink app where as soon as your brain heard you thinking about that song stuck in your head, it zapped.
We literally, by the end of the episode, we've become the mice. I don't know. You Nate, I'll give you this. You went 2.5 for 3. That's a pretty good shooting night.
I'll take that. That's better than your whole career.
100%. I'm batting like 34% on pitches. I'm the world's worst, man. I come in underprepared with an idea that's almost scientifically impossible or extremely niche to my life. Hey, what if... count how much stuff I did so I could fight with my friends. It's like,
yeah, I feel pretty confident about like the Dulb and the popcorn bowl. I would actually buy. Yes. So I don't know about the earworms. Thought it was a fun idea, but the other two I would actually give money.
Those would actually get real money from me. good Nate, you really carried us though. That was a heroic effort for 3 pitches that filled a lot of content and time. You deserve a you deserve a big amount of money for that. Yeah, now. Dude. Let's get to a ceremony before we close this thing out because we've got some new Patreon members. It's time to show them some love.
Are we gonna get copyrighted for this?
Of course.
Matt?
Is it going? Can you not
hear
it? Oh, I can't hear it, but that's okay. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, now I hear. I have the utmost honor, nay, pleasure, nar, honor, to nar. Introduce this next tomato boy. This fella has been an OG honorary tomato family since episode one. He believes you've either shit your pants or you're a liar. Chum, I'm looking at you. Here, from here. The depths of the 920, opening up the pearly gates of the tomato empire, introducing the latest member, Nicholas Hintz.
Yes, 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 yes. Also, it's the entire Hintz family. It's the whole crew. They made their babies some bootleg Tuesday Ketchup merch, which is the only bootleg merch we'll ever allow.
Anna and I made them bootleg merch.
Amazing. Nate, can you also hit the Halo music off? I want to drive a Warthog right now. Welcome to the entire Hintz family. They've also given great feedback throughout the storied history of the Ketchup through our various political turns, left and right, and left again, and some and anywhere in between. So they've been very nice about our ever changing humors, and sometimes we do get a little deep in the poop and cum talk, and they've always stayed the course. Man, nice tomato boy ceremony, morning, Matt.
The best raps of all time.
They did give us one of the best raps of all time. We got to hear that live at the Matt's bachelor party weekend.
That was dope.
Final thoughts around the table. Matt, we're going to start with you tonight.
Oh, man, I'm not prepared for this, but get yourself a television. If it's not outside right now, you're doing it wrong. Invest in D and your worms and, you know, mice killing. Join the Patreon. God damn it. I'm losing my mind. I need to go to bed.
Harley, final thoughts.
Matt, this ain't Texas. This is the Tuesday Ketchup. If you ever need to commit horrifying acts of violence, any creature, large or small, just play Disney Pandora. It's all good. That's all I got for you.
Nate, final thoughts.
What's up, shitheads? This is Nate from Nathan Nation. I just want to tell you, Gate, aka groceries, are too expensive. And give me your money. I'll give you some D. I'll see you next Tuesday.
My final thoughts. If you've exterminated a bucket full of mice and you're bringing them outside and you hear a coworker go, wait, just keep walking. Don't bring them the organs. That's the wrong choice. Like Matt said, be a little risky to do some naughty stuff outside your bedroom, like bringing your TV outside while you cook food. It's a real eye opener. This has been an episode of the Tuesday Ketchup. Remember, people, you fill your cup of your pockets from the well of your ambitions. And this has been the Tuesday Ketchup, and you're all caught up. One, two, three.